This is On the Other Hand. A podcast that explores politics and other issues of importance to Arkansans through conversations with community leaders. On the Other Hand is sponsored by Braver Angels in Arkansas, and Braver Angels is part of a national organization that aims to reduce political polarization by promoting honest but respectful dialogue among people of all political beliefs. We believe our progress as a community and country happens when we actively seek common ground with the other side so that problem solving can occur. So we had a great conversation with Dan Reimer last time, and we decided to continue that conversation to hear more about Dan's experiences that led him to his views on working across the political divide. Today is the second part of the two-part conversation that we had.
Clearly, there are problems these days in society with political differences. The polarization level has grown to a point where things are really endangering our democracy and our democratic institutions and our civility with other people. So I wonder ways that you can describe that you see working across political differences to be important.
Well, one is, I think we have to understand our values that underlie our leanings, our thoughts, our behavior. So, for example, my values have to do with a commitment to truthfulness, to justice, to equality, for individual rights and responsibilities, for prosperity for all, for the oneness of mankind. And so those principles are like touchstones for me that spring out my thoughts, my words, my actions. So understanding where we are is important, and then finding out what values are important to others and where we have commonalities and similarities.
So one of the things I wonder about is, I mean, you're able to just off the tip of your tongue talk about what your values are. How does somebody discover what their values are?
They think about what's important to them. They think about qualities in people that they admire. And they think about what those qualities mean in terms of value and character. And what are the qualities that those attitudes and behaviors reflect? And then they look inside themselves and say, do I have that? Do I have the capacity for that? Can I grow into that?
Another way in which it is difficult is when you have values, and I think most people would say that they espouse values, but I think it could be challenging if we ask them what they were, but yeah, they do. And yet, people naturally are group animals. You know, we adhere and belong to groups, and so we identify with groups. And one of the challenges I see is that sometimes I see people espousing a particular value, and then when someone in their tribe comes up with something that is not consistent with that value, what usually happens? They usually wind up going with tribe rather than their internal values, and I'm sure you've seen that too. Do you have any thoughts about how to help people move along in that struggle toward more values-centered actions and thoughts as opposed to kind of blindly going with your tribe?
Yeah, I think it has to do with the notion of being differentiated, knowing how to stand on your own two feet, knowing who you are, regardless of the opinion of others. I think it's something we have to teach our children and reinforce it in our youth so we have it solidly when we're adults. And in the hearings recently, we've heard stories about some people who followed their principles and their goals and their commitments. And they were good examples to learn from.
Yeah, but that is a tough one. You know, the instinct is to go along with your group, because being shunned by your group, you know, the peer pressure and all that's a tough one. I think it deserves some attention to the difficulties people are in when they're closely identified with a group. Not that they're not responsible for making a good choice, but it is a tough struggle. Okay, this next one could be a little bit dicey, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Where do you see Arkansas currently in terms of its politics, you know, and where might the future take us? And, you know, I don't mean to get into too much of a difficult or contentious conversation, but just in terms of some general notions of where things are going, the both the positives and the challenges, and then what your hopes are, you know, how we can go in a better direction. And forgive me, that was a lot to throw in there.
It's okay. I like to think broadly, and there are trends that we can recognize. One of them is the destructive forces that are working in our society right now that promote greed and selfishness, conflict, discrimination, hatred, division, contention. All of those are forces that are undermining our essential unity. And we have to find ways to safeguard ourselves against them. But it doesn't involve just resisting them. It means responding with a positive response and finding ways to exercise constructive forces. Braver Examples, I believe, is an example of a constructive force.
Braver Angels.
Braver Angels is a constructive force. It's acting positively to bring people together and find commonality and build unity. Coming to the Table is another example of bringing people of different races together to have a structured conversation around race.
Now, we had someone else, another guest recently, talk about Coming to the Table. Could you briefly tell us what that's about?
It's a national program with local chapters that has a structured format. I believe it's similar to the dialogues that Braver Angel puts on, to create a place of safety where people who have strong feelings about race can come, express them, be understood, and commitments for allyship be made and that sort of thing. Right now, I think the Clinton School of Public Health is facilitating some of these conversations.
So as you were talking about those destructive forces, and I know you probably have more to say about Arkansas in terms of its politics too and where the future might take us, so we can go back there in a minute. But I think about a lot of times the things that you mentioned as destructive forces, people might see those as being values that other people hold. And they may see that the other persons that they might have the potential for getting to know and hearing their story might have such opposite values as them that they see it as destructive. And so I'm curious as to how you talked about trying to find values that are in common. How do we find values in common with someone that we perceive to be in support of those destructive forces?
I think we have to separate people from positions. People are the same, but their positions can come and go. And I think we have to give grace to everyone of God's creation because He loves us all, and we should love one another. Even if things that are being done are anathema to us. As parents, we learn how to separate our love for our children from the things that we do. We can apply that same skill to adults and love someone even though we hate what they do.
That's a great example, the kind of idea of identifying and criticizing a behavior but not the person.
So I'm still interested in the Arkansas question. So where are we? Are we in the destructive forces, or what do we need to be doing in Arkansas in particular?
I think every person needs to assess the conditions of the world for themselves and develop concern about those things that are not going the way they'd like. Regardless of one's family or tribe or group, each of us is responsible for finding truth for ourselves. And so that difficult self-assessment are we going in the direction we need to go? And if not, what can I do about it? Just identifying the reality that there are destructive forces and constructive forces begs the question, where do I want to lend my weight? Now, examples of constructive forces are groups that are working to promote unity and capacity building. And so you'll find organizations that are working in low-income communities to strengthen their capacity to take control of their own physical, material, emotional, and spiritual welfare. And these organizations are out there, and if someone feels that they would like to do more to contribute to a constructive society, they can research and find those organizations and put their weight behind them.
And I think we've had other guests describe some of those other organizations, so that's a good idea. We should probably put on our website some allied organizations that work in those kinds of directions. I am aware, though, I think about one of the concerns in the country now is that there are a lot of people at the lower end of the socioeconomic ladder who are struggling just to kind of get by and help their families, you know, survive, much less thrive. And I would imagine their reaction to your suggestions might be something like, I've got all the time and energy I can just kind of keep my head and my family afloat, you know, head above water. So are there ideas you might have for people like that who are just, what can they do in their everyday life as they're carrying out what they have to do to take care of themselves and their families?
Sure, they can make bonds within their neighborhood. They can intensify their friendship with their neighbors or their children's parents. They can find a neighborhood organization that needs a little boost on a Saturday. There's a variety of things. People can come together and say prayers together. There's not a lot of time or expense involved in that. But if we believe in the power of prayer, let's get together and do it and share prayers from different traditions. And my wife's a part of Interfaith Arkansas, and their motto is, we are more alike than we are different. And so find strength in people and bringing people together in your own home from different backgrounds to say prayers together for the betterment of our neighborhoods.
You know, I was reminded as you were talking about that, and this seems like a pretty small thing, but even at my workplace, there was a person that wanted to start, this is during the pandemic, and wanted to start a kind of a prayer thread in the email chain. And so she asked if people to be willing to join it, and she didn't say that it was of a particular faith or not. I think it ended up being more leaning towards Christian folk that participated. But every morning, I wake up to my inbox at work with a prayer from a person that just happens to be working there. I didn't even really know him. And it's an encouragement. We all comment about the prayer, and then maybe other people post things. And that's a small thing. You wouldn't think about even doing that. This was just across the COVID divide when during the pandemic, when we weren't even at work, that this started. So I think that is an example.
One of the things I was thinking about is something I've tried to practice. Sometimes easy to forget that we have influence on other people by the way we come across to them. And I'm not just talking about, you know, at work or with our friends. Everyday interactions. You go and buy some gas and go into the Easy Mart and, you know, buy something and talk to the person checking you out. Something as simple as being kind, respectful, polite, and if someone is not kind, respectful, and polite, don't respond in kind, you know, and even little bitty things like that, however small they are, if you just keep doing that over and over, over a period of time, it may make a difference. So I think we've already talked about this next thing. I was wanting to ask you to provide specific recommendations on how other people make a difference in their communities. Do you have any other things along those lines that you could add to that?
Yes, we can all become conscious of three arenas we can come involved in. One is our personal transformation, being the best person we can be. Second, in our communities, reaching out to others to build a stronger community, advocating within our group or our tribe or our faith to be more inclusive and open, engaging with people who are different from us. And then whenever we have the opportunity to join forces with others and speak truth to power, to testify to the city council, to meet with the city manager, to see the head of a department where some assistance is needed in your neighborhood. So these are three levels that ordinary people can undertake.
Yeah, I it's a word that actually I hadn't heard mentioned in the conversation as we've had it so far, and that's the word transformation. And I think about how so much of what you've been talking about and what you live, it sounds like, Dan, is transformational. It's not just about my growth as a person, but it's also about the community and potentially, you know, the halls of power. So I love that word transformation. So thank you for sharing that.
So Dan, I think we've covered a good bit here. Do you have some other thoughts that you'd like to share with us before we wrap up?
Gosh, I've said all that I'd planned to say, and even more based on the wonderful questions you've provided. I just want to thank you for this form of service, because by putting out these podcasts, you're contributing to an environment that promotes civil dialogue, open communication, finding commonality. And just as a citizen in this community, I'm grateful that your influence is being felt in the community.
Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. We want to thank you, Dan Reimer, for being our guest today. We really enjoyed this conversation. It was a good one. We hope you have the best of luck in carrying on with your work and with your faith and with your everyday life, which that's all together, right? Yeah. So April, I think it's time for us to maybe wrap things up with maybe a few words about what we learned from the interview with Dan today. I'll maybe try to tell you a couple of my thoughts. One is I was really impressed with what Dan had to say in terms of his principles, being guided by the principles of his faith. And I think there's a lesson there for everybody because, you know, not everybody is faith-based. Not everybody's religious. And yet my experience has been that even people who are atheists, most of them have good moral standards. And they have a set of moral views. And so if we all act according to our values, and then the other thing I think Dan pointed out was being self-aware of investigating yourself and your reactions, and are you following your values, and continually being willing to go there. And I think that takes a bit of an act of courage to do that, but it leads to good places. So those are some of the thoughts I had. So just looking at how you can improve every day in your own life, whether it's your actions at the moment, the way you think, what you do when you interact with someone else, and especially the, constructive resilience when you have those difficult moments. I love that.
You know, the whole conversation, Glenn reminded me today of the, you know, the organization that we find ourselves a part of, which used to be called Better Angels. And, you know, that quote from Abraham Lincoln that talked about appealing to the better angels of our character. In some ways, that's what I see us, you know, calling for, and what I hear Dan calling for is we have to be so aware of ourselves and kind of what's going on in our own hearts and thoughts towards other people. I think really before we move into developing the relationships in the community to try to make things better. And that does take courage. That does take that constructive resilience that Dan was talking about. But there were so many things today that he talked about, you know, whether it be labels dividing us, you know, instead we should identify with principles, talking about being aware of lesser loyalties that lead to conflict and competition, rooting out prejudice in my heart, you know, and being differentiated, being okay to be different from other people. You know, Dan, I had a question for you. I'm wondering what's on your bookshelf these days? It's a question we don't typically ask, but you are clearly well-read, and wondered if you have suggestions to our readers for something that they might could read regarding some of the things that we learned about from you today.
I urge all of my white friends to read White Fragility. It's a book written by a white woman who is involved in diversity training. And she just highlights how fragile our egos are in regard to race, and how we overreact to being called a racist, and set up unnecessary barriers between us and others because of our inability to tolerate that discomfort. It disables us from being a positive force in building better race relations.
You know, we can turn that same thing on April, because it's real handy. I can look behind her shoulder and see the book I bet she's reading now. You want to highlight that one?
Yeah, the book, I never thought of it that way. And I've mentioned it before on one of our podcasts, you know, and the subtitle is How to Have Fearlessly Curious Conversations in Dangerously Divided Times. And it really talks about so much of what you talked about today. The other book that I was going to suggest that is actually written by one of my colleagues here, maybe we should have him on in a future podcast, Julian Miraval. It's called The Art of Positive Communication. And it takes from positive psychology a lot of the things that you talked about in terms of how we can build relationships across differences.
Thank you for that. And I'll just say that I'm also reading that book now, too, that you're talking about, so that's a good one. Well, Dan, thanks again for sharing all your thoughts with us today. We really appreciate it. And remember to check out Meaningful Conversations on Facebook, where you can find Dan Reimer and other folks having meaningful conversations according to the principles he espouses. We hope you enjoyed the second part of today's discussion with Dan Reimer. Be sure to check out the first part of our conversation with Dan and future podcast episodes of On the Other Hand on the Braver Angels Arkansas website at arkansas.braverangels.org. We value listener feedback, so let us know what you like about our program, how it can improve, ideas for speakers or topics, or whatever you want to share with us. You can email us at otherhandar@gmail.com. That's otherhandar@gmail.com. And be sure to check out future podcast episodes of On the Other Hand by going to the podcast page of the Braver Angels Arkansas website. And that website is at arkansas.braverangels.org. Or you can find it on Podbean and many of the major podcast sites. On the Other Hand is sponsored by Braver Angels in Arkansas. Music was composed by Randall Standridge of Jonesboro, Arkansas, and was performed by the University of Northern Colorado Symphonic Band, Dr. Richard Main, conductor. From your host, Glenn White, and April Chatham Carpenter, have a good evening, and let's all work to bring our community closer together.